Brought to you by Modelo.
Bras, what's up? It's Throwing Hands, it's me. It's Toby. Great event this week. I'm excited. It's the one fight I've been looking forward to for a very long time. The present versus the future, I believe, in the 145 division. What do you think, Toby?
Absolutely. Two of the most skilled guys in the featherweight division, probably in the whole UFC, are going head-to-head this weekend. It's an incredibly fun matchup. They're both making it interesting at the press conference, as if it already wasn't interesting enough. So I'm looking forward to it.
For sure. So we're going to go to this card real quick as I share my screen. There we go. All right. So I was looking at the Mexican fight card next week over in Mexico City, but this is what we're really here for. Great card. Compared to the last two awful cards we've had. That's just my opinion. I don't think the last two cards have been that great. But
have not been very good.
So we're not gonna go through this whole card. You know, Toby, I thought about live streaming this, but we didn't.
Good.
maybe we should live stream it so it keeps you on a leash.
Oh yeah, true.
That's not a bad idea. We'll do that next time. But you got Andrea Lee versus Miranda Maverick to open up the card, you know, nothing crazy. Val Woodburn against Obon Elliott. The Welsh gangster, I'm pretty sure, is his nickname. But
gee, what? No. What?
I don't think that's correct.
It can't be.
Val Woodburn went in there against Bo Nickel on short notice and didn't go great, to say the least. But you know, I don't know much about these guys, honestly, so we're gonna move on. I didn't realize they're fighting at 170.
Also, yeah, Val Woodburn is like 5'8", so he's definitely at a disadvantage against almost everybody at welterweight.
That's true. All right, we're starting with Rinya Nakamura versus Carlos Vera. I am a Nakamura supporter through and through. I don't know about you. I think this guy could be the future at 135 with his wrestling pedigree. I mean, there's Merab and Cejudo, but outside of that, when it comes to wrestlers, there's not too much there at 135, and as Aljamain has moved up. I see this being an easy one for Nakamura to win, man. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Carlos Vera, I really don't know anything about the guy. Like, no disrespect to him. I just don't know any of his background. Nakamura, he's a hyper-aggressive grappler, and, you know, he's got a lot of knockdowns, even though he's not really a striker. He hits hard, and he's just super, super aggressive. He's a fun guy to watch, so... Yeah, I'm looking forward to this fight, and I think he's probably going to tear through this guy in like a round or two.
Yeah, I agree completely.
I think he's like minus 1,400 right now.
Oh, yeah. minus 1,350.
Yeah.
Put everything you own on Rinya Nakamura, and I think you'll be okay. So, some recent developments in this fight. If you're listening to this, I literally edited it and put it out immediately after I was done. So Marcos Rogério de Lima was going to fight Justin Toffa. However, Toffa got hurt within the last few hours prior to the weigh-in or something. So his brother is stepping up and in.
That's fun.
This is not the guy I would want to go in against on 24 hours notice. Rogério de Lima is not the best in the world, but he's really good. That Derek Lewis thing, that happens. It's not common, but it could be interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is just a battle of two really big, strong guys. Hopefully, you know, someone gets a knockout here. I'll probably lean to Lima just because he had a full training camp and he is powerful. He's actually got pretty decent cardio for his size. Like, you wouldn't, you know, you look at him and he looks like a giant peanut or something, but he actually is a, you know, fairly well-conditioned guy. and he hits hard. So yeah, I'll probably go with the Leem on this one.
Yeah, I will too. There was a time, Toby, where a lot of people thought Mackenzie Dern was next up.
I did.
Oh, you were one of them?
Well, I do. Well, I liked her fight. I remember watching her fight with Tisha Torres, where she did a back take by like kicking off the fence and flying through the air. And it was really cool. And I was like, man, you know, she's got great subs and she's working her striking with Perillo. And then I saw her last fight and I was like, okay, maybe she is not with Perillo. Apparently, I mean, I don't know what they've been doing to her striking, but it looked horrible.
What's been going on with that team? Because I heard Perillo closed the gym. I heard. Let's see where she's at. Whatever
Megaton
this team is.
Diaz. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Oh, I guess it's her dad's camp.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. Wellington Diaz. Oh yeah, that is.
Yeah. Seventh degree quarrel belt. Good lord.
Yeah, let's.
That's like the highest belt you can get.
Let's see what we got here. It's currently a quarrel belt under Hoyler Gracie.
Jeez.
Yeah, this dude is. If you see this man in the street, do not let him put his hands on you. I repeat.
Spam knees is what I would do.
No, I wouldn't even get that close.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he will destroy you if he gets his hands on you guys. So yeah, that's crazy. We could do a whole episode on him, Loki.
Well, I hope Mackenzie has been training elsewhere as well, because she doesn't need to train her jiu-jitsu. Like, she's got great jiu-jitsu. So what she really needs to work on is building off her jab. She actually has a nice jab, but she doesn't build off of it. She just throws it, and she's able to get countered off it. Like, Andrade countered her numerous times and finished her numerous times, but the fight didn't get stopped until later on. But, I mean, she dropped her, like, 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, weird. Yeah, it doesn't say where her team is, so yeah, she's got to work on her boxing, and I don't get why she tried to get in there and piece up Andrade on the feet.
It makes no sense.
I mean, and Andrade has really good jiu-jitsu too, but anyway, Lemos, is this her first fight back since the title fight? Yeah, it is.
It is.
That was a beatdown. That fight could have ended in round one, I think, but she survived and went all five. Lemos has decent straight punches, and if Mackenzie Dern can't get to the ground, I could see Lemos knocking her out again, honestly. I could see Dern getting knocked out again. Lemos hasn't knocked out Dern, to my knowledge. So, I don't know. What's your thoughts?
No, I agree 100%. I am very confident, actually, in Lemos. I think that she's going to get this done probably by finish. I think she's going to, you know, TKO her or something. I think it's going to be one of those situations like the Max Holloway, Calvin Kattar, and then Calvin Kattar versus Giga Chikadze, where Lemos got destroyed by Zhang Weili. And I think she's going to obliterate Mackenzie Dern. And maybe I'm a little biased because Mackenzie Dern's last fight was such a pathetic performance, but I just can't trust her striking. Lemos is super powerful, very accurate,
yeah,
very tough, and she can go 5 rounds. So this is a 3-round fight. So I think Lemos, I mean, all the way.
And Lemos has decent jiu-jitsu too, so.
Yeah. Exactly. People look at that fight where she got subbed by Andrade. That was a freak submission. Okay. That, you know, things like that happen. Well, they don't really happen, but, you know, it happened to her one time. It doesn't mean she has bad submission defense or bad submission game generally.
Yeah. And Andrade's jiu-jitsu is really good. And it's not something people see when they. Yeah. Andrade just saw the opportunity. That's not something someone normally would see, but man, that's so interesting. Look at this significant strike rate. I would not have believed that.
No, I feel like Dern landed way less than that.
Interesting. Huh.
Quite a bit of
anyway, to the main card. Take it away, Toby.
All right, everyone. You know, we've got Volkan Topuria, we've got Whitaker and Costa, Merab and Cejudo. The fight that nobody's talking about, that everybody should be talking about, the real main event, is Roman Kopylov and Anthony Fluffy Hernandez. And let me preface this by saying, I have a lot of respect for Fluffy. You know, he is a great, great fighter. He has incredible jujitsu, super tough, rarely ever gets finished. Subbed, who's that guy who got the sub?
Adolfo Vieira.
Yeah, subbed Adolfo Vieira. Crazy. Got great cardio. This dude's a dog. With all that out of the way, Roman Khabibov is going to murder this guy. They're going to have to drag Fluffy's lifeless body off of the canvas. The crowd, there's going to be people crying. They're going to pan to the crowd. People are in tears because of what Khabibov is going to do. They're going to say, oh my God, we just witnessed the first death inside of the octagon. I truly believe that. Khabibov is only getting better. He's on a 4-fight KO or TKO streak. His kickboxing is some of the sharpest striking you will ever see. He's been training in Dagestan. Let's not forget that. I mean, his first two fights in the UFC didn't really go his way because he got taken down. And I think a lot of people, you look at these odds, he's almost a plus 200 underdog right now because people, yeah, he's exactly plus 200. People look at the previous fights, which, by the way, were 5-6 fights ago, and they think, oh, yeah, Fluffy's just going to take him down. He's going to dominate him. That's not going to happen. Roman Khabibov is going to defend those takedowns. He's going to destroy Fluffy on the feed. Simple as.
Should everyone put everything they own on the plus 200 odds?
I don't recommend doing that. That's no betting advice for me, but I will be doing that. So.
Okay. I think Khabibov wins too. Although if Hernandez gets his hands on him, I'll be interested to see how Khabibov does.
Yeah. Now I will say if he does get him to the ground, it's, you know, it's going to be a bad situation, but
let's I just like hope Fluffy it a lot.
Doesn't happen. No, I do too. I do too.
It's like, I don't really want any of these guys to lose. He did terrible things to Edmund Shahbazyan.
You know, I will say though, if we're talking about, you know, people, like 5-6 fights ago, let's not forget what happened with Kevin Holland 5-6 fights ago with Fluffy. I mean, knee to the body took him out. Khabibov, what does he have? Those body kicks? I don't know. I'm just saying.
Same. Man, that was a crazy submission against Adolfo Vieira. And Vieira's looking good, man. Since that fight, he's really turned it on.
Yeah, he has.
And I know I lost to Chris Curtis. I'm not even going to get started on Chris Curtis because I'm just going to get mad. Honestly. Anyway, Rob Dvalishvili versus Henry Cejudo. Cejudo, arguably the greatest combat sports athlete of all time. Olympic gold medalist. Bantamweight gold. Flyweight gold. Versus the takedown spammer, Merab Dvalishvili. I like Merab. I like the dude. The dude seems cool. I want to hang out with him. If you've seen any video of him on the internet, he's climbing up poles in a tent. He's diving into ice. He's getting revenge on the ice that cut him. I mean, this guy's... He's not normal in the best way possible. And I love him. I think he's hilarious. If anybody's going to be able to counter the wrestling of Dvalishvili, it's going to be Cejudo in this division as of right now. Maybe we'll see Nakamura in the future. I'm interested to see how Dvalishvili deals with Cejudo's stand-up. Because I think Cejudo definitely has the advantage in the stand-up. This is really interesting. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I'm leaning Merab on this one because throughout Cejudo's career, we've never really seen anybody just spam takedowns against him, which is obvious because he's an Olympic gold medalist in wrestling. And so people naturally think, well, there's really no point to wrestle this guy. That's not Merab's mindset. I guarantee you that is not his mindset. He is going to come in there. He's going to implement the same exact game plan that he did against Piotr Jan. He got, 49 takedowns in that fight? Something ridiculous like that?
49 attempted takedowns.
Yeah. 49 attempted, yeah. Sorry, but he only landed, 13 or something?
We can look.
But regardless, he is going to wrestle the crap out of Henry Cejudo here. And personally, something that I think should be kept an eye on is Cejudo's cardio. This guy was not in the greatest shape for quite a while. You know, he was retired and he was doing his own thing.
So Dvalishvili landed 11 of 49 takedowns. But yeah, I think Cejudo gets the win, honestly. I think Cejudo's striking is going to make the difference in this fight. Rob can't box. However, if Rob can't get it to the ground, I don't see it going too well for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a fair point. You know, I think Cejudo, he's a great striker. Got a nice flowing karate style. But I just don't think he's the same guy as he was. That last performance against Aljo, I know a lot of people thought he won that fight. I thought Aljo won pretty clearly. I thought that Cejudo really didn't look that good. But
yeah, I thought Cejudo won. That's for another day. Jeff Neal versus Ian Machado Gary. I'm not going to talk about Ian Gary. I can't. Apparently, he didn't do any interviews with Irish media. That's the word that's going around. I'm not going to say it for sure.
It's weird.
And he says he's too big to go to Ireland. You're not McGregor. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're not. You're not on that level.
How does he expect to win over the Irish fan base if he says stuff like that?
I don't know. But hands of steel, Neil, man. I love this guy. This will be Ian Gary's biggest test. If Jeff Neal stays in range, it could be a long night for Ian Gary. Because Jeff Neal's going to dirty it up, I see. That's how I see it. And I think Jeff Neal's going to knock him out.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm hoping happens. But, man, Ian Gary, you know, for all his personal flaws that people like to point out, I mean, he's a very, very good fighter. Yes. He's, 6-0 in the UFC, I think?
Something like
that. Sorry if you guys can hear this dog just barking in the background. But, yeah, he's, 6-0 in the UFC. He just beat Neil Magny, who, you know, kind of a 50-50 guy, but still, it was a great performance. I watched him live when he, you know, clattered his shin off of D-Rod's head. And we've never seen D-Rod hurt like that, much less finished. I mean, he went down like he got shot, you know? So Ian Gary's powerful. He manages range very, very well. And something to keep an eye on with Jeff Neal is he has shown a lot of moments of bad fight IQ in the past. And I just can't really put a lot of faith in Jeff Neal to follow a game plan and not make a mistake. I think Ian Gary's the type of guy, if you make one mistake, he can capitalize, he can finish you. We've seen Jeff Neal hurt before. I think that could happen. I'm not saying it will, but I'm leaning a little bit towards Ian Gary. I'm hoping Jeff Neal wins because I do like him as a person. I think he's a great guy. I think he is a very fun fighter to watch, but I think Ian Gary is just going to be a little bit crisper. But like you mentioned, if Neal can get in there, make it dirty, bloody him up, land some shots on the inside, very interesting fight, completely different fight at that point. So
Who do you think wins, Ian Machado Gary or Sean Strickland in that hypothetical? I think Sean Strickland just
Strickland
toys with him.
Yeah, I think Strickland definitely.
They have some beef. Look it up. We're not going to get into that. Bobby Knuckles versus Paulo Costa. Guys, Paulo Costa weighed in. He's official. This fight is official. We're seeing Paulo Costa again, finally, versus Bobby Knuckles, who's coming off the saddest loss in MMA history. I contemplated stopping watching the sport because of that. It was rough. It was rough for all of us.
But now you acknowledge that DDP is the greatest fighter of all time.
He's not the greatest fighter of all time. No, Strickland won that fight.
No, I know. I'm joking.
Anyway, what Paulo Costa are we seeing? Are we seeing the Paulo Costa against Romero? Is that the one we're going to see? Because I hope that's the one we're going to see. Or are we seeing the Paulo Costa against Adesanya? People downplay that Vettori loss for Vettori's a great fighter, guys. What's Robert Whittaker's chin looking like? He just turned 33. This is, you know, his last bastion to get back into the title picture. I don't know about this fight. It's going to be very interesting. What do you think, Toby?
Yeah, this is a really, really interesting one. I am hoping and praying that Robert Whittaker gets it done because I really love Rob. I want to see him back in the title picture. And I think a lot of people, there's been this misconception about Paulo Costa for years now that he is this one-punch knockout guy. Oh, he's so powerful. If you look at any of his fights, whether it be Johnny Hendricks, who, by the way, Johnny Hendricks in that fight was like 36 and he wasn't on roids at that point. Like, this was after USADA came in. He was super old and slow, and Costa just beat him down. He didn't finish him with like one shot. He beat him down over the course of the fight. And that's what Costa does. I mean, Costa is the type of guy to win by attrition. I mean, people look at him, he is a huge guy, but he's not really a one punch KO artist. We've never really seen that throughout his career. So I think that actually helps Robert Whittaker, because like you mentioned, there are some questions about Rob's chin. I mean, DDP dropped him with a jab. He's been hurt in numerous fights, from the Adesanya fight, both Adesanya fights, actually. He got hurt very badly in the Romero fights. A lot of his fights, you know, he got dropped by Darren Till pretty badly. So his chin can get cracked, but I don't know. I think he's going to be able to outskill Paulo Costa. And I think even if Costa does catch him a couple of times, he's going to be able to withstand the power. So I think Whitaker's going to get this done. I think it's going to be a clean decision win for him. I think he can maybe even pull off a TKO or something. We've seen Costa finish before by a slick striker. And of course, Izzy and Rob have very different styles, but I think it could be a similar ending. I don't think it's going to be a first round. I think it's going to be like a second or third round finish by Whittaker here.
I see Costa getting it done, honestly. I know it's been a year and a half. However, I don't know. Something just seems different about Costa's mentality going into this. I never really had any doubts of him pulling out of this fight, which I understand if you don't believe me out there. But something tells me he wants this now. Not like he didn't want it. I mean, he tried to fight Khamzat with the staph infection, and he was there, and he had like 2-3 surgeries, something like that, to get all the stuff out, if I'm not mistaken. I see Costa getting the job done. Now, ring rust, could it be a thing? Sure, we'll see. But non-ring rust, I think Costa gets this done. He seems like he's in a different headspace at this moment.
Yeah, and he is with the captain, Eric Albarracin.
Yes, Eric Albarracin.
Henry Cejudo's former coach. No, I'm just kidding. Apparently still coach. No, I know.
I don't know.
Man, they are not doing Volk justice with this picture here.
No, I mean, this was him when he fought Makhachev.
Yeah, not his best.
Not his best. I think it's just the fact that he doesn't have a beard.
Yeah, that definitely. It's very weird to look at him like that.
I don't know. It doesn't look like Volk.
He also isn't quite as shredded as he usually is, because down at featherweight, he looks a bit more lean. You know, this is up at lightweight, it looks like.
Yeah, that's true. He just looks different. He's still a hunk, let's be honest here.
Like, yeah, come on. For sure.
Absolute hunk. But, shout out Volk, mate. But this is the fight I've been looking for since Topuria put on that performance against Emmett. This is the one fight I have. If Volk was 34... I'd be less sure about who's gonna win this. But no one's beating that curse. Now, there's somebody to beat it. It's Volk. But you know, you see Topuria out there, you know, talking his shit, all that stuff. However, when it comes to him interacting with Volk, he's very respectful. I think I think you said at the beginning of the episode or right before we start recording, he's just trying to sell the fight. I think Topuria is very aware of whom he's going up against in arguably the greatest featherweight of all time. I think it's Jose Aldo. 9 title defenses if you count his WEC stuff. But anyway, this is the biggest featherweight matchup since Aldo versus McGregor. I truly believe that. This is, you know, some people are talking about Volk might not finish, Topuria might not finish Volk if he couldn't finish Emmett. That fight should have been stopped by Emmett's corner, if we're being real. But anyway, dude, I don't know who's winning this fight. I you know, Toby, I'm the biggest Topuria supporter there is. I think Topuria is him. I think he's getting that belt at some point. I just don't know whether or not it's now.
Yeah, I mean, this has got to be one of the toughest fights to predict in a long time. I mean, both these guys are incredibly well-rounded. And we really don't see much of the jiu-jitsu game from Volk, though, but we know that he's got great submission defense. We saw that in the Ortega fight. We've seen that he's got a good takedown defense. So we know that he is phenomenal on the ground. He just doesn't really show it too much. And he does use offensive wrestling sometimes. I don't think he'll really go to that too much against Topuria, but I mean, you know, it could be there. But Topuria, I mean, this guy, talking about well-rounded, he's got skills everywhere. We saw the jiu-jitsu in the Bryce Mitchell and Ryan Hall fights, the defense, I should say, and the offense in the Bryce Mitchell fight. And then we saw the beautiful striking against Jai Herbert, against Josh Emmett. And, you know, people, I've seen a lot of people bringing up that Jai Herbert fight. If you go back and look, that is one of the most perfectly timed head kicks in the history of the sport. I mean, yep. Jai Herbert threw that leg up with no telegraph right after Topuria threw a punch. He literally couldn't see it coming. Like, it's impossible for him to have seen that kick coming. And the fact that he ate it and then got immediately back up is insane. Like, we know from that he has an incredible chin. He's young, he's durable, he's super fast, super powerful. I'm going to lean ever so slightly to Poirier because of all those attributes that I just mentioned. Also because Volk, coming off of a knockout loss, 36, is he? 35, 36 years old?
35.
35 years old. We know about the curse in welterweight or lower, being 35, being a champion. So I'm going to have to lean to Poirier just a little bit, but it's no disrespect to Volk. Yes, one of the greatest fighters that we have ever seen, currently a top three pound-for-pound guy. But I just think Topuria is, he's that good, man. He really is. And I can't go against the curse.
Nor can I. I don't know. I love Topuria just as much as the next person. I really do. I think Topuria gets it done. I think he finishes him in the second or third round. If this was this, let's say this fight was happening in April, right, at 300, I'd be more confident in Volk. But a head kick knockout like that, about only four months after the fact, that's that's scary. So,
also, wasn't Volk on the UFC 5 cover?
Yes, he was with Shevchenko.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Not the greatest thing. So
yeah, Volk isn't exactly under the greatest set of circumstances here.
All we need is a Drake is going to come in and be like, I just dropped $700,000 on Volkanovski.
That'll see it.
It's like Topuria locked for sure.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
We'll see. Dang. It's a very tough fight. And they list him as fighting out of Germany. So he's from Georgia, raised in Spain, but he's fighting out of Germany?
He was born in Germany.
Oh, okay. So wait, I thought he was born in Georgia, but he lived in Georgia though for a
yes.
while, right?
Yes, okay. He is an ethnic Georgian.
Okay.
He lived in Germany for a few years, and then he moved to Georgia, then he moved to Spain.
Gotcha.
Man, dude, this card.
Should be a fun card. One. I will say the early prelims and the prelims are, you know, a little underwhelming, but the main card is fantastic. So
yeah, the main card is fantastic. Not much as of news this week.
I haven't seen a whole lot.
Oh, Dana White's gonna announce the 300 main event at the press conference.
That'll be interesting.
We'll see. Oh, I hope it's not Leon versus Bilal.
Yeah, I hope not either. I hope he moves up Holly Holm and Kayla Harrison to the main event.
Oh, absolutely. How's Kayla Harrison going to make 135?
Dude, that's what I was thinking. She's been fighting at 55. There's no way she makes weight, man.
She's going to pull like a Leon, what's his name? This 49er safety. It's going to kill me if I don't look this up.
Hold on. She's going to have to cut a leg off to make 135. Like, she's huge. She probably cuts at least like 15 or 20 pounds to get to 55.
Ronnie Lott. Ronnie Lott. So I don't know if you've heard of Ronnie Lott, but
I have.
Yeah. You know, chopped off his pinky to play in the game next week instead of having it in the cast.
Whoa. I did not know about that. I do remember Ronnie Lott. He was like one of the hardest hitting safeties ever, but I've never heard of that story, which is, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, like, what? She's not going to be able to lose enough muscle in time.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if she gets in there. But yeah, as for the 300 main event, I don't know. It probably will be like Leon Bilal. I mean, I don't think the UFC could be that. Like, they don't hate the fans that much, do they, to do a Leon Bilal main event?
Oh, I don't think they do.
They've got to at least toss us, like, you know, stick Pereira in there against somebody.
Aspinall. Anybody.
Yeah, against Aspinall. I mean, against Izzy, I wouldn't mind it.
I mean, nor would I.
It'll be interesting, though, if they don't do Leon Bilal, then, you know, when would they do it? Because 301 is the Brazilian pay-per-view, and 302 I'm not sure about, but yeah, I'm not sure when they do that fight.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
If it is, we're going to have to oil Dana up, teach him a lesson.
Okay. Nina screwed that joke up.
Yeah. She, I didn't even see. What did she do? Oh.
She just pushed it too hard.
Oh, man. Like, yeah, it was pretty good for a while.
It was hilarious.
All the it was hilarious because it was natural. Like, Dana would be reading the comments on his Instagram live. And he's like, oil me up. What does this mean? Why do you want to oil me up? Or, like, my favorite one is when someone comments, they're like, your mom's a fun card. He's like, your mom's a fun card? Like, what does that mean? What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, shout out to the interesting community of MMA.
Dana White Instagram Live. He needs to do more Instagram Lives.
Here's my opinion on Nina. Hear me out. She's great for the casual fan. And I think that's what she's trying to, but that's what the UFC is trying to get her to appeal to. And I think there's a lot of hardcore fans out there who don't like her. Oh, she's this, she's that. But she's not trying to appeal to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. I don't know how you see her. I don't got a problem with the person she is. She seems cool. I want to, she seems like, stuttered a little bit there. She seems like someone fun to hang out with. But I think the hate isn't warranted in the right places when it comes to her.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think she's doing a good job of bringing in a bit of a younger, newer audience to the sport, people who wouldn't have otherwise watched MMA. And look, maybe it's just like horny teenagers who think she's hot, but either way, you know, they're getting into the sport. So that's a good thing. And I mean, I think she seems like a pretty nice, fun person. And it's not like she's a casual herself. I mean, the questions that she's asking these fighters are silly and goofy, but she knows what she's talking about. Clearly.
Yeah, she knows what she's talking about.
I will say, though, she is a power slap shill, and I hate that. So, she's always pushing power slap. And I get that.
Same as Bisping. And Anthony Smith. And
I can't believe, like, just for a paycheck, you know, you're going to sacrifice like all your values. I mean, how could you promote something where two people just stand right in front of each other? They can't move at all. And they just get knocked out. Like, imagine an MMA fight where the two guys just stand right in front of each other and throw like knees and kicks and elbows and nobody moves the whole fight. Like, they're just stuck in the ground and they knock each other out.
It's not a sport.
It's not. Yeah, it's not. And people, you know, because people will say, like, oh, but MMA, you can get knocked out. Yeah, but you can also defend yourself. You know, but you can't defend yourself in slap fighting.
There is no sporting aspect to slap fighting.
No, no.
Toby, I could come down to Morgantown. You could be fast asleep in your bed, and I can just stand over you and just go, whap.
Yeah.
That it's the same thing.
Functionally the same, yes.
It's functionally the same thing. I won't be doing that, by the way. We got a power slap card. Oh, last week there was a card.
Probably sold 600 million pay-per-views.
New welterweight champ, Toby.
Wow. Very interesting.
How much do they make? This is important.
Can't be much.
This is important.
Dana's probably like, all right, 500 to show, 500 to win. $500, that is.
Jeez, this is from the Daily Mail about a year ago. Some make 1600 per bout.
Oof, that's rough. Not worth it.
Jeez. Makes me mad.
We have a great card coming up.
Great card coming up. Wolverine from Power Slap headlines UFC 300.
If Dana did that, I mean, I think that would
respect
sell.
It.
Dude, that would sell like negative pay-per-views. People would be like getting refunds from past pay-per-views for that.
What is up, fight fans? I can see it right now. I have an announcement for the UFC 300 card. Opening up the pay-per-view. There's not much. I'm looking at news. There really hasn't been much this week.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
Referee for the main event, the judges. Herzog's the ref. Great.
Good. Yeah, good. Great.
The judges are Ron McCarthy,
not bad.
Elliot Kelly, and Michael Bell.
Mike Bell, not the best.
Oh, that's the middleweight matchup. My bad.
Okay. Ooh, Mike Bell, not a great judge.
Oh, Ron McCarthy, Derek Clearly, and Sal D'Amato.
Oh, we got Sally D in there.
Dude, we're going to have 48-47 Volk, 48-47 Topuria, and then a 47-47.
No, we're going to have like a 50-45 one way from Sal D'Amato.
48-47.
Was it Sal D'Amato who... What was the UFC fight that he got so horribly? Well, was it the Chito Vera that
I think it was, and I think it was Strickland versus Hermanson.
Whatever fight it was, there was one day where he had that scorecard, whichever one it was. And then that same day, he flew out and gave Danny Sabatello a 50-45. He gave Danny Sabatello a 50-45 against Rafion Stotts. And keep in mind, Rafion Stotts won that fight because the other two judges had it 48-47. This guy had it all five rounds for the other guy. That's how bad he is at judging fights. I don't get, and I know they have collective bargaining rights and everything, but I don't understand how like the judges can stand behind this guy. I mean, he is such a bad judge.
Yeah. And he gave, like I said, Jack Hermanson the win over Sean Strickland.
Yeah, yeah.
Horrible. Ridiculous.
He's trash, man. And honestly, Derek Clear is not much better.
But yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't go to a close decision, which I kind of feel like it will, but...
It could be a war. But yeah. Toby, we got to get going, man. But you got anything else to say?
No, I'll keep my mouth shut. I don't want to make you edit anything more. Okay. So.
All right. We're going to start live streaming the YouTube stuff. I that's kind of what I've been wanting to do.
Yeah.
Toby, so you gotta watch yourself.
Yes, I can. I can do that.
Okay, peace out, y'all.
Peace.